Welcome to All Together Now. This is Eleanor Lacaine. One of the great uncovered stories in the media is the rise of women in business. Some women are starting and running their own businesses and experiencing remarkable success. Women are creating more economic security for themselves and creating more jobs. As women break the glass ceiling in business, they are changing business as usual, bringing their values and their hopes for a better world right into the workplace. The hope is that women business leaders are more likely to hire a diverse workforce, promote women and minorities, treat employees well, and give back to the community. Women-owned and led companies now are reaching higher heights. In 2014, women-owned and led companies with from between $10 million and $1 billion revenue a year had a collective revenue of $743 billion, and they created 6.4 million jobs. Our guest today can help explain this dynamic innovation and development in our country. Our guest is Betty Hines, President and Chief Collaboration Officer of her own company, Betty Hines Business Builder, who draws on her experience in business development to mentor and guide CEOs and business owners so they can accelerate their growth. As a corporate executive, Ms. Hines held senior-level positions in a Fortune 100 company with management oversight of business divisions up to $500 million in revenue. Ms. Hines is also a leader in the Women Presidents Organization, a network for women presidents, CEOs, and managing directors of multi-million dollar companies. She is highly regarded as a business leader, both regionally in Baltimore and nationally. Betty Hines, welcome to All Together Now.
Well, hello, Eleanor. How are you? Thank you for having me.
I am great. I'm excited that you're on the show. I can't wait to have our listeners hear more about you and what you're doing.
Great. I'm excited to share.
Well, let's start with this Women Presidents Organization, because I am just so impressed with the great work that that organization does and you as a leader in it. So for those of us who, like me, until I met you last year, had no idea, what is the World Presidents Organization?
Well, it's Women Presidents Organization, or WPO, as I'll refer to it throughout our conversation. It's a nonprofit. It's a 501c6. It's a membership organization for women presidents and CEOs of a privately held multi-million dollar companies. We're very global, and we're very confidential, and we work collaboratively in what is called a peer learning group. And that was something that was designed by the Edward Lowe Foundation, which we can talk about a little bit later. But the Women Presidents Organization, where I serve as a chapter chair, I'm a chapter chair for two chapters in the Maryland area, and I have a zenith, which we'll speak to a little later as well. But we're all about accelerating business growth. We work in a very confidential setting with women who have no competing core businesses, and we talk about how we can accelerate and take it to the next level. We want to know how can we enhance our competitiveness. And lately, what I've been meeting with my particular group is not just how to enhance your competitiveness, but a book that we studied for over a year and we tried to implement its practices was the Blue Ocean Strategy. We talked about not just how do we enhance our competitiveness, but how do we create uncontested market space. So that's what the group is about, and essentially what I tell the women, we serve as your advisory boards. Several of them do have advisory boards, but we serve as your advisory board.
Yes, and you, as you mentioned, are the head of two chapters in Baltimore, Maryland, and Greater Baltimore. Talk a little bit about what happens in your chapters. You're a great mentor and guide for so many of the women in business there. What do you do in your chapters?
Well, the two chapters are local chapters in Maryland. I have one in Greenbelt and one in the Greater Baltimore area. And though I say Greenbelt and Greater Baltimore, let me be specific. The women in my chapter come from all over. I have women coming in from Rochester, New York, one that comes in from Philadelphia, and I have several members out of Virginia. So that essentially is where we host our meetings when I say Greenbelt and Greater Baltimore. But back to your question, what do we talk about? We are in a very confidential setting. We believe in connections. We believe in confidentiality and collaboration. And I always tell them they also need a bit of courage. So our four C's, how we launch each one of our meetings, it's about collaboration, confidentiality, commitment, and connections. These women are all trying to take it to the next level. And the thing that I tell the women, okay, you might be at 25 million or 30 million or even at 5 million, but if you want to get it to that 50 million, $100 million level, you're going to have to do some acquisitions. But how, what do you do? What are the steps that you need to take? What are your intentions to take it to the next level? So our meetings really go back into the fourth quarter, because during the fourth quarter, like November, October, we put together what we called the best year yet. And so these women are looking at what was their best year. So right now we're in 2016. So in January, what we spoke about is, what did you do in 2015? What was so good about that year? And what are your intentions going to be for 2016? And our conversation center around, what are your intentions? Because we feel that it's a much bigger picture, because it's based off what is their passion for their company, what are their values, and what are their purposes. And that's the why. Why are you in this business? And we are constantly emphasizing that. And we talk about intentions instead of like your goals and objectives. So goals and objectives are part of them outlining their intentions. But there's a tendency that when you set these goals and objectives, and I think of it more like in weight loss, you have these goals, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. If you don't meet that goal in the time frame that you thought of, you look to yourself, there's some, as you failed. And our opinion is that none of these women are failures because they've tried. And it's, what are your intentions? So we take a look at their intentions, and from those intentions, they identify, so what are your goals are going to be, what are the actions you're going to take, who are the people in your company you're going to hold responsible, and why I ask them to do that. Because if you see their name in each one of those categories, in each one of the goals, then you need to step back and take a look at it, because they're spending too much in the business instead of on the business. And from there, we'll take a look at what are some of your obstacles, and who can you partner with? What are resources are out there? And, of course, you have to have a timeline, a start and end date. So we do that work in October and November. And then we set up accountability teams, because I certainly can't meet with, 40 people. So we set up accountability teams. And so our meeting will start off, each one of our meetings, is that we try to do a two-minute drill or a three-minute drill. It really depends on what the agenda is for the day. And we say, okay, we want to update on what's going on with your business. And in that update, we want to hear about your business. We want to hear about your financials. And when I talk about the financials, we want to know, what are your expected revenues for that month or for your quarter, and what were your actual revenues? We want to hear about the expected profit, the actual profit, and year-to-date. Where are you year-to-date? And if there's variances, we want to know why. And it's important for them to focus on their financials, because there's a tendency when women are in business, and maybe not just women, but since I've been working with women, that you kind of step away from the financials, unless you're the CPA in our group. And then we want them to talk about their family, and we want to talk about personal. So there's two categories that we look at. We want to hear the news in those four categories, the business, financials, family, and personal. We want to hear the positive and the negative. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, we want to hear, what are the pressing issues? And why we want to talk about the pressing issues, because there's a tendency for people to put things on the back burner, especially in the area of family. And what we've come to realize, particularly with women who are in those high-level positions, presidents and CEOs, they put the family on the background, they put themselves in the background. And we also have learned that when things aren't going well for you personally or for you, your family, that it starts affecting your business. You're not as effective in your business. And if it's going to be affecting your business, then it's going to be affecting your financials. So we're always talking to each other about you need to take care of yourself first. Otherwise, you're not going to be in a position to help anyone else. So
Right. That's
a really high-level format on what we go through. We might have some speakers, but we celebrate because I find that women, we don't like to brag about our accomplishments. We try to keep it quiet. And I'm going to tell you, in those meetings, when I find out something that someone won an award or someone was nominated for this or they got a big contract, I make sure they all tell me, I want to know. I want to know every achievement. And we blast it out in the email to all the women, and we take time in there to celebrate because some of them are a little bit shy about their accomplishments and their achievements, and they shouldn't be. You
right.
worked hard. You stayed on track, and so let's celebrate.
Absolutely. Well, and you mentioned about the values, and it's one of the things that strikes me both about you personally in your life and your business and many of the women that I've met at the different women presidents organizations gatherings I've been to. I've been very struck about how values-driven so many of these women in business are. And do you think, I mentioned at the introduction here about the hope that women business leaders, you know, hire a more diverse workforce, promote women and minorities and treat the workers well and give back to the community. Do you think that's generally true or not? Are women changing what business is, or is business changing women?
I think women are changing what businesses. And in fact, we give, WPO gives an award recognizing a business owner, a WPO member who has done just that. They recognize them who have given back to WPO, who have given back to their community, an individual who's really done well in terms of providing the necessary health care benefits for their employees. So who might have that nurturing spirit, we want to make sure that we're the best company that we can be. And so the women, you know, that's a heart. And so their values and the purpose drives their destiny. And that's the destiny of their company. So they are really entrenched in making sure that each one of their jobs, their corporations, their companies, is a place that everyone wants to work.
Yeah, that's so great. It's so encouraging. And I know I went to one of your chapter meetings last year outside of Baltimore. I was very impressed by the caliber of the women participating. Tell us a little bit about some of the women in your chapter. You know, who are they and what kinds of companies are they running?
Right. Now, I spoke about there's no competing core businesses, and it might not be obvious to some, but there's no competing core business because we're talking about business strategies. Some might be talking about acquisition, so you don't want to be sitting right next door to your competitor having those kinds of conversations.
Does that mean you only allow one woman in for each of those sectors?
Or those core businesses, right.
Mm-hmm.
However, we know that when you start getting to the 5, 10, especially when those women in the zenith are doing 100 million, you know, a billion, you have more than one core business. But that's the only core business that you can bring to the table or to the group. So some of the businesses that we have, and they're varied. They're different, a lot of professional services. But I have women in there that do cybersecurity. I have women that have commercial janitorial services. I have women that are in charge of benefit plans, benefit services, those type of with providers that they can help large companies, corporations. I have women that do coding. I have women that do painting, commercial painting. I also have doctors. I have a cardiologist. I have a orthodontist. I have a pediatrician. I have a woman's health doctor. So we have those professions in there as well. I have an architect. I have event planners. I have people that do your traditional, your HR services, your marketing, and public relations, which is a different. People seem to think they're the same, but they're not. There's a difference in your PR and your marketing. And I have people who do security, not cybersecurity, but security of housing, of libraries, that, you know, the, not armored guard, but that type of security. I have women that help with construction management, project management. I have partners in law firms. I have CPAs. I try to have a partner in a law firm and a CPA in each one of my chapters. So there's just various different backgrounds of the women that are in, and I have one that does printing. I have one that does has novelties. So the background in businesses vary. It's very, very broad.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because I was very struck by how many different ways women can earn money and make money and create jobs in business. And as we talked about, to belong to the Women President's Organization, you need to own or lead a company with at least $1 million a year in revenue. And I went in thinking, you know, well, first of all, how many women hit that benchmark? And but I got in there and I just saw how many women you've got in your chapter. And then at the annual conference, which happened recently, which we'll talk about momentarily, but I was really struck by the creativity and the breadth and depth of the different ways that women can get out there, set up their companies, and make money. It's just like the sky's the limit.
And there's a report that people can refer to. It's a 2015 annual report called 10 Million Strong. And it's the tipping point for women entrepreneurs, and it's by the National Women Business Conference, Council, excuse me. And they talk about how women businesses have increased. They show from a time period of 2012 how women businesses have increased like 30%. So women are out there. They are out there creating businesses for themselves, and we're growing. Not at the same pace as men are growing, but women are out there. They're growing their businesses, and we're hiring people. I mean, we're looking at 9 million employees. So women are out there. They are very, very, I feel, a core to small businesses. They're the foundation of our business community. So women are out there. All kinds of businesses, they'll find ways to do it. Just like the 50 fastest, one of the ladies, you know, who had the water bottle, the different temperature. She just had an idea and zoom, she went with it. So, we've had a woman who was making organic baby food, and she grew that business and she sold it for over $1 billion. So women are very entrepreneurial, and we have a lot of serial entrepreneurs who have had different businesses. But, these women are out there finding all the different businesses and being a force to be reckoned with.
That's wonderful, and I want to encourage our listeners, you know, some of whom may be unsatisfied in the jobs they have or looking for a job now, to actually consider maybe starting your own company. And a lot of these women-owned companies started very small, like you mentioned, the woman who made the organic baby food. You can start small in your kitchen and then grow, and that now there's this whole community of women entrepreneurs out there who are willing and eager to help women start their own business and succeed at growing it.
Yes. And we talked about Women Presidents Organization in terms of it's invitation only. You do have to have the 2 million gross revenues, 1 million if you're service, but there are other organizations out there that don't have that requirement, because we're considered second stage. And there's reason for it. Just like we have different levels in WPO, we have a platinum group, and these are the women that are doing 10 million and 49 million, and then the zenith, the 50 to a billion plus. Different conversations for those who are at that $2-5 million level versus those who are at that $50 million level.
That's right. And for our listeners who may be beginning in business, there's a group. Is it NABO, the National Association
Absolutely.
Of Women Business
NABO.
Owners?
And it's right, NABO, N-A-W-B-O, National Association of Women Business Owners. There's chapters all over the USA. And in Europe, they have like We Connect. So there are a lot of organizations that are people who are trying to start up and just get their feet on the ground to learn about those businesses. And also when you NABO and with WPO, a lot of these women are getting their certification. So there's WeBank. That's a certification arm to really confirm that you are a woman-owned business. And we're not going to get into that today, but there's a lot of organizations for startup. And I would encourage, if you're looking to start a business or you have a small business, there's quite a few in that $100 to $500 million range, and some even smaller. I encourage you to seek out those organizations such as NABO. And they have great programs to help you grow your business and help you with collaboration to get it to the million and 2 million so you can get the invitation to WPO.
Right, and when you do your own business, you create a job for yourself, you create some more economic security, and you can create jobs for others. You were saying women-owned businesses now account for almost 9 million jobs, is that right?
Yep, they have a whole lot. And to give you some statistics just on what IWPO market is doing, we have, just to give you a little bit of insight on what we're doing, our average number of employees just in WPO is 95 employees, and the average revenue is $32 million. But women are creating a lot of jobs, and the study on the national numbers on women businesses is with the National Women Business Council. Anyone can Google that online, the National Women Business Council, and it's called 10 Million Strong. And what is good about that report is that it does also include a lot of the women organizations, such as WPO, Women Presidents Organization, NABO. It includes WIP, Women Impacting Public Policy, just to name a few of those women organizations that, you know, people can explore. But they've gathered all that statistics, and they've done an outstanding job in gathering that information under the leadership of the chairman of that is Carla Harris, who is a great leader and known globally.
Right, and speaking of great leaders, when I was talking to the members in your chapter, everybody was raving about you and about how you've helped them learn how to make their businesses more productive and how they could grow, both as owners of their company and also in their community responsibility. So hats off to you for taking the hands of women and helping them all move up.
Well, thank you, but let me also add, I've been part of WPO for 10 years, but WPO was founded by an extraordinary woman, Marsha Firestone. And Marsha is the founder and president of WPO. And Marsha had this vision that she wanted to have women at the next tier. And so this is something that she put together. Next year will be 20 years. And kudos to her for having that vision. And now we have 127 chapters around the world. We're on 6 continents. And we have about 127 chapter chairs, and we meet annually, and Marsha continues to talk about her vision, and she's taken it forward where now we have a foundation to help other women business owners. So, you know, the seed started in New York with a woman by the name of Marsha Firestone, and I'm just happy to that she reached out to me, and I'm a part of it and have been a part of it for 10 years.
Yeah, that's great. And I was just reading a book that the Women Presidents Organization puts out Marsha Firestone here as the author. It's called The 50 Fastest Growing Women-Owned-Led Companies Guide to Growth, which is very impressive. And Dr. Firestone talks in there about having 1,900 members and the Women Presidents Organization. Is that right? Is that what the current membership
is? That's right. And you would think more, but keep in mind, it's invitation only. We have no more than 20 people in a chapter. So she's trying to bring on more and more chapter chairs so we can go even, faster. But we've had great growth over prior years. So, yeah, it's 1,900 women. And I was thrilled that we had members at this conference. We had about 847, 850 members that were in attendance. So that's great. That's really fantastic. So, that's absolutely correct.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised it's that high where you've got the $2 million a year revenue requirement, as you say, unless it's a service company for $1 million a year. But that's a very high bar. Most businesses that are out there are operating at a much smaller level. So I'm thrilled to hear that there's that many women who are hitting the higher heights there for business and doing it with some social awareness. Now, you talked about the annual conference. It was just held in your neighborhood in Baltimore just a couple of weeks ago, and I was delighted to come by and participate in some of the proceedings there. Tell our listeners about that conference. You had over 800 women entrepreneurs there. Tell us what happened at the conference.
Well, I'm thrilled. It was at the April 7th through 9th, and I'm particularly thrilled because it was in my backyard, and it was also in celebration of our 10 years in launching Baltimore Women Presidents Organization. But it started, and the theme, we selected the theme this year, Scaling for Growth. Because what you'll find now is that, access to capital is an issue, but it's how do you scale? How do you scale for that growth? Because you find some women, and I know some women in my chapters who have grown just in a four-year period from like $4.5 million to $20 million. How do you do that? How do you scale for growth? How does that happen? It's not luck. I mean, you have to have a business plan in place. So that was our theme, but we actually started on Tuesday. Something very new for us, and we're thinking about implementing it in chapters in conferences going forward, is that we partnered with the University of Baltimore. And it was our community service, or our outreach program, to young entrepreneurs. So they reached out to young entrepreneurs at the universities, because a lot of schools now have entrepreneur programs, and invited them in. And we selected women from across the United States to come in and had panel discussions, and we had members who sat at tables and helped facilitate discussions with these inspiring entrepreneurs. So that was a real treat, and we spent like a half a day. And then we launched it with our VIP reception, recognizing our sponsors and a lot of our speakers. But the sessions, and I was able to, of course, I listened to all the speakers. The speakers were just phenomenal. And we had some pre-conference workshops, which were that morning. And the pre-conference workshops talked about marketing, how to grow your business using your own personal brand. And then we had a section on government contracting, which makes sense for us in Baltimore because we're so close to D.C. And not all my women, but a higher percentage of my women are involved in government contracts. And people just didn't understand, how do you get federal and state contracts, and major sales and revenue opportunities? So these women, there was three of them, they talked about how to develop a capability statement. They taught them on learn which agencies to pursue, and they also helped them understand how to be aware of before expanding into the government. And then they had workshops on the ecosystem, on how to support female entrepreneurs. And then from there, we had our opening session, which I'm hoping you were able to attend some of the agenda. But we had speakers such as we had Amy Cuddy, who's ranked number one in terms of doing the TED Talks, but she talked about our body language and how that really affects how we move our businesses, how we grow our business, and how we are received in pitching our businesses to others. and she's a Harvard professor. And then we had Judy Smith. A lot of people associate Judy Smith's name with the Scandal TV show. But if you were there and you heard, it's much more, it's broader than that. I mean, she is the term crisis management was something she coined decades ago. But she talked about the crisis management. Of course, a lot of things she did was confidential. But some of the things that she was involved in terms of some of the cars we have, automobile industry, in terms of, former President Clinton, those situations. But she is involved in crisis management, and she gets to pick and choose who she wants to work with. But those conversations and her presentation was outstanding. And fortunately, one of my chapters had a high percent of attendance, which they should since it's in their backyard, and they had the opportunity to meet with her one-on-one and ask some very great questions. So we just had great speakers that spoke to scaling for growth, and I'm just glad that you were able to attend and to listen to some of the pearl of wisdoms. And we gave scholarships away. We had some individuals that were doing presentations about disruptive business ideas, and they talked about, you know, what is disruptive, and Microsoft was sponsoring them if they were winners. And then we had Harvard Business School there was a contest where people actually gave a pitch on their business. They had four women selected pitching their business and being awarded an opportunity to get a degree, a professional degree from Harvard, helping them. And it was priced at something like $40,000, and they were given a scholarship of $20,000. And trust me, there were several hundred women who were interested in that opportunity, one won the scholarship, but the other three, because their presentations were so outstanding, were still offered acceptance into the program. So just a lot of things going on. I hope you had a chance to listen and to participate in some of the programs that were taking place, the concurrent sessions.
Yes, I did. I was very impressed with the caliber of the speakers there, and you mentioned Professor Amy Cuddy from Harvard was there talking about the connection between our body language, kind of how our body is positioned and then how we feel about ourselves. As you mentioned, it's like the top TED Talk out of all the now tens of thousands of TED Talks out there. It's right up at the top, and I can see why, and she's such a great presenter. And it's so important for all of us to just be aware about how we feel reflects in our bodies, and how our bodies being, you know, straight back, strong, can affect how we feel. So, and that may sound really simple, but if you're actually aware of that as you go through your day, that could make a big impact, particularly as people prepare for a job interview or an important meeting, just to kind of get your mind in the right space and feeling strong and confident. If you're not feeling strong and confident, you can change your body posture and help yourself feel confident. So I thought that was really, she's a great presenter. I can see why she's at the top of the TED Talks.
Yes, yes. And then we had the pleasure of hearing from Dr. David Bach, the founder and president of the Pilates Institute out of New York. And he talks about the human development process and the way we think in our emotions. And the mission of that institute is to identify the most efficient and effective technologies available to help people maximize their joy, power, and effectiveness. And hearing his presentation, I mean, that received very high marks for individuals trying to find something different to stimulate their employees and to keep them interested. And with that, a lot of people talk about the millennials. How do you stimulate the millennials in your business? How do you recruit for the millennials? So all these topics were just right on point in terms of talking about bringing on the new workforce and how that new workforce can work with us baby boomers, you know, how we can collaborate together so that we reach the ultimate goal that everybody wants, is to accelerate the business growth.
Right. And I thought you did a great job on the conference of balancing some of the plenary speakers who were kind of had very interesting information with high-level presentation quality, and then combine that with some of the workshops on very practical hands-on advice. I went to the one with Jean Marks, who talked a lot about you're managing your database for sales and marketing and communicating with your community. How you can manage that now with all the incredible tools there are out there with software and, you know, very hands-on practical advice.
Yes, yes. So there was something there for everybody and for every business need.
Right, absolutely. And then you had a reception there. Talk a little bit about the different groups that are forming. I mean, just to get into the Women's President's Organization, you need to hit into the, you know, the million mark. But then you've got a couple of groups that are heading at the 10 million a year and even 50 million a year. Talk a little bit about those groups.
Yes.
That you're...
Yes. As I mentioned, the issues we find are different for those who are at the 2, 5 million level and the 20 million versus the 100 million. So we had a reception there for our potential Platinum and Zenith group. And our Platinum members are those individuals who have gross revenues around at 10 million up to like 49.9 million. And that is our Platinum group. We have 6 Platinum chairs around the United States. And then we have what is called Zenith. And the Zenith are for those members who have 50 million to a billion plus. We have one Zenith group. And I'm launching the second one. I'm excited that I'm launching the second one. I have 5 members already signed up and 3 that are in the process of signing their contracts. So I'm hoping to launch our first meeting in June, August at the latest. But these are individuals that don't meet monthly. And our local chapters, and I don't know if I mentioned this, our local chapters meet once a month, and we meet for 3 hours. The Zenith and Platinum groups, they meet 3 times a year, and they'll meet for about 2 days. They'll come in, like, let's say, on a Thursday afternoon, and then they'll meet a full day on Friday and then depart on that Saturday. It could be on the front end of the week or the back end of the week. And that, in those sessions, they have more in-depth conversations because you're not breaking up, you know, the time. And we'll have speakers come in based off the topics that they want to engage in. So for the Zenith group, our sponsor is Ernst & Young. So we have some very high-level discussions with Ernst & Young. And the Platinum group has their sponsors as well. So they were recruiting other members. What we do is that we send out an invitation to those members who have reached those revenue requirements, and we bring them in. And those members talk to them. Each one of the chapter chairs, we have 6 Platinum chat for chairs and 2 Zeniths. So the 8 of us, we're just giving them some ideas on where we want to take the program and encourage them to meet with those who are at that level. And so my pitch to recruiting the Zenith members is that I really would love to have it more global. There's some people that I've spoke to in Canada. There's some individuals in South Africa I'm speaking to. In fact, my roommate, my chapter chair roommate, was from Malaysia. So she has a member that's at that revenue requirement. So the members that I'm talking to right now that are in Zenith, they want to get into the global market. They want to get into the global trade. So we'd love to have a nice mix and blend of USA and global market for this next Zenith chapter. So that's what I'm doing right now. So any of your listeners have individuals that they know who are at that 50 million or above, certainly need to reach out to you and I so I can speak with them and see if this is something that they want to be a part of. I'm sure they will once I've had a chance to speak with them.
Yes, and again, you know, when I went to that reception you had with the Platinum, which is the 10 million to 49 million group, and then the Zenith is 50 million and over, I thought it would be a very small handful of women there.
Nope.
And I was really delighted when I got into the room and I saw, my goodness, there's you had a really big group there. How many women were at that reception?
Ah, oh, my goodness. I want to say there had to be over 50.
Yeah,
maybe.
It was at least.
70 maybe.
It was
they were
least.
Coming and going. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. We had quite a few that were there, and there's so much value in, I mean, the discussions that we have on the local level are what are the pressing issues right now, because sometimes there's a fire, and you got to put it out. With the Zenith Group, what we're finding, it's confidential learning environment, but the intent and discussions for the Zenith is, how do you procure more business from Fortune 1000 companies? Or how do you acquire? You know, mm-hmm. It's less of an issue at that level, access to capital, as it is for the local mm-hmm. chapters. But, I mean, access to capital is always an issue, you know, women see in business. But how do you procure new business from the Fortune 1000, the Fortune 100? How do you raise the awareness, enhance perception of the size of women-owned and women-led businesses? You know, why aren't these women, this is my little commercial, but why aren't these women, our Zenith women, why aren't you looking to an organization like WPL? These women who are in Zenith, who are accomplished, successful business women, why aren't they being recruited to sit on corporate boards? We all sit on nonprofit boards, but why not the for-profit board? So these are the types of discussions that take place.
Right. Very good. It's, traveling at very high levels there, and I'm thrilled you're there with your great values and experience helping to guide the women up to the next level. And what do you find, have you seen with all these women that you've helped with so many of these different companies that they're owning and leading, are there particular advantages or disadvantages they have because they're women?
Oh, certainly. Certainly. I mean, I would go into crowdfunding for one. Last year at the conference, we talked about the crowdfunding, where you would find a lot of the women just like, what? I mean, they didn't know the different types of crowdfunding. They didn't know anything about, well, I shouldn't say they didn't know anything. They weren't as familiar as their male counterparts. So, yes, there are some differences in terms of access to capital. In fact, one of the ladies in my group, my local chapter, she was mentioning, and she has a nice-sized business. She's grown and had it for over 20 years, and she does cables, you know, cables, and she's in a field that is male-dominant. And she's been extremely successful, has done some work with a lot of work with the Navy and government contracts. But then her future son-in-law, he's able to, is doing something, he's doing like a micro brew or something like that, and he's able to walk right into the bank and get a loan. I think it was like a $2 million or $1 million loan. And we were just sitting there like, wow, young, he's like under 25. And it's like, what woman would have had that opportunity?
Right.
So one of the things that we're trying to do, we are meeting with our corporate sponsors who are into banking, and we're having a session with them to talk. What's the dialogue? What's the difference in the dialogue that maybe a male is saying that a woman might not be saying? Not that there might be any difference, but are there some keywords that we should be using and incorporating into our presentation to the banker?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these are things that we're looking at in 2016 that we're going to have them come in. Okay, how can our pitch be different? So, yes, there are some differences in a lot of areas. I mean, the gap is closing, but not as quickly as we would like for it to be.
Right, and that access to capital can be such a challenge for women, particularly earlier on as you're starting and growing your business. But
mm-hmm.
I remember, actually, a friend of mine had a great business idea. She put together an incredible plan, and she started to go out to raise money for us around extreme sports. Really brilliant woman. And
mm-hmm.
She couldn't get any money, investors, to the table. So she
mm-hmm.
actually partnered with a guy who basically said, I need a man here to be my front man. But she had to give him, both a combination of ownership in the company and control over it. And he went in and he got the money, but then he ended up taking over the company from her. And it was really, it was so sad to see. It was her idea. She had developed it all, but she could not get the money as a woman. Now, that was maybe 15 years ago, but I don't know that things have changed that much. But I do know you had a speaker at your chapter that I went to from Golden Seeds. And as I understand it, Golden Seeds does fund women entrepreneurs. Can you tell us a little bit about Golden Seeds?
I can tell you a little about them. I know they're in California. I also know that, for a fact, the Zenith chapter chair, for Zenith One, she's part of Golden Seeds. And she does that type of investment. They invest in women businesses. So I know after that meeting that we had a regional meeting for you, for your callers, your listeners. We did a regional meeting which included all of my two chapters, the D.C., Virginia area, and the Philadelphia, Delaware area. And she spoke about the access to capital and also looking to women, more women, to be investors. Now, that's an area that we don't do a lot of. So that's something that I would think, I would hope that some of the Platinum and Zenith members would be more conscious of. Like, look, you know, you have Golden Seas. Why don't we get together or be part of Golden Seas or start something where we can be doing, we can start our own doing investing for some of these women businesses. And that's what I like about our foundation that Marcia was able to launch. We finally got the approval, is that, you know, we were asking members who are part of WPO, look, this is our foundation. Let's go ahead and, put money in it, fund it, so we can assist, you know, women business owners, you know, who might need that extra funding to support their business initiatives.
Right. That's great. And talk a little bit more. You just said you're about to launch the second Zenith Group, which is the $50 million or more revenue per year. Tell us a little bit, like, who are the women that are in your group? How did they get to this level? What are they doing?
I have one that is in an area of construction. And I want to say they might be the only asphalt company in the USA, but they have two asphalt companies. It's a sister team, and they bought the business from their parents, and they have just grown. They have just blown up, and people did not know, people, because they used the name of their father, they continue that, they kept that brand, but when people found out that it was women. And it's funny because on the cover of one of the magazines here that promote women business owners, they had on pink hard hats, dressed to kill, and high heel shoes. So women like that in construction. I have women that are in the group that does IT, cybersecurity, and when you start talking about cybersecurity and IT, that is out of my league. It's a foreign language to me, but she covers that area of cybersecurity, working with the government, is extremely successful, had a successful career in the military, retired as an officer, and then started her own business. Women that I have in there does translations, language translations, a very successful business. I'm trying to look around the room of the people that I have. I'm looking to bring someone on that's in pharmaceutical. I'm looking to bring someone on that does IT services recruitment. I'm looking to bring someone on that does training and development. So there's another one I'm looking to bring on that does telecommunications, the cabling, underground cabling. So these women, they are in all types of businesses, and they have, generally, it's more than one business. They have their core, and then they have all these ancillary businesses that are very supportive and have of what they're currently doing. So there's a lot of synergies in the different businesses that they have, but they always have their core, their foundation.
That's very impressive. And, you know, just so many different routes to prosperity here. Tell us a little bit about your company. You've got the Betty Hines Business Builder. What do you do? You're obviously an enormous networker. You know everybody. You're a great connector. How do you use that in shaping your own company?
Well, what I've been doing is that I was working with smaller size businesses that were around 5 million and growing. And I help people, as I say, build better businesses one vision at a time, because everybody has an idea on what their business is going to be. And I provide consulting and guidance to them. And I also see myself as the CEO sounding board as part of the Betty Hines Business Builder. Oftentimes, you have CEOs that want to run an idea by somebody, and they want to look to somebody who has had some experience, which I have. I've been in corporate America. I've been a C-suite executive. I've even had a company with my husband, a property and casualty company, so I can speak to what it's like being on the road on Wall Street and in Chicago, talking to investors, presenting your business plan, trying to raise capital. And we were, and our team were effective in raising over $30 million, but in the insurance industry, people say, oh, $30 million, that's surplus. But I can speak to that. And then as a, having with those experiences overlapped with having traveled because of corporations, my move, connections as a business connector, I feel that I am a great CEO sounding board for people. So that's what I do. But the past year, I've been kind of spinning them off, because after a while, you want to wean them. For me, I don't want to have the same client for 3-4 years, because then it comes to, okay, what are you doing? I mean, at some point in time, you need to take it to the next level. You need to grow yourself. So what I'm involved in now with the Betty Hines Business Builder, as I mentioned, if you want to go from the $50 million to $100 million or you want to go from $100 million to $300 million, whatever, is acquisitions. And I'm finding people, and even in our own WPO world, women that in the age range of 50 and over, we have about 40%. So you have a lot of the baby boomers there. And some of them are looking at their business and say, okay, they might have a succession plan, but they've not really given much thought. Maybe they don't want to pass it on. They want to sell the business. Or they might want to start something else. So they might not even know they want to sell. So I've been involved doing some M&As, those with companies whose gross revenues are around $100 million and above. So the people that I'm working with see that there's an untapped market between the $100 million and $500 million range. So that being said, they have a whole methodology and process that they use called synergy. They take a look at the company and see there are people out there who want to purchase that company because there's some synergies there, or maybe you want to merge. So especially, again, as I mentioned, there are people that are in the baby boomer age. What are you going to do with your business? And they might not have even thought about it. It's no different than if you talk like an executive search for your large Fortune 100 companies, if they're looking for a CEO. It's not known, but they might be looking for a position. Those top-of-the-line executive search firms will go to another company because there's some core competencies that match well and certain skills that match well, and they will go in and recruit that person and bring them into that organization. And this is the basic, quick philosophy of what this company is doing, and I'm just so thrilled to be a part of it. That's a nice journey for me, and the stage where I am in my life is working with those who want to maybe acquire or merge.
Right. And tell us a little bit about your story. How did you get started? You're traveling at very high levels of business owners here. How did you get started? How did you get to where you are?
I think a lot of it had to do with corporately. I worked with a large insurance company and as an underwriter. And I want to say back in those days, there weren't many. Back in the mid-70s, there weren't a lot of women that were underwriters. You might have them in a services position or operations position, they called it, or an agent. And I was an underwriter and excelled fast at that company and was relocated. And I was always relocated to some of the prime areas. such as Oklahoma, Kansas City, Idaho. And so that helped develop my character, you know, being the only woman, an African-American woman in those areas at that time. It built a lot of character. And from there, you know, was moved out this way on the East Coast, and was part of a turnaround operation of a company. And I jumped on board because my now husband brought me out this way, and I was thrilled because the person running the company was the strategic planning guy for Jack Welch. And in my day growing up, anyone who came anywhere near and briefed around Jack Welch, you wanted to just savor that moment and to be a part of it. So, and then we decided to do our own property and casualty company. So just that courage, just that excitement and being very blessed, I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of people and have moved forward and always seized opportunities. Like in WPO, one of the things that WPO has done that I applaud them to bring in more diversity into their organization, and our numbers are now 40% minority, they partnered with the 100 Black Men of America. And so we've launched what is called the Woman of Color Awards, and we've traveled. We've done this for the past 6-7 years, and me traveling with the vice chair of the 100, and we're recognizing women of color who have accomplished, who had the same type of revenues that the women of WPO have. Last year, we were in London, and that is how I get to meet people. And I keep those connections. And because of those connections and those collaborations, I've been able to help other people connect with those. I'm able to see how they can collaborate, how they can move it to the next level, and just having a very positive attitude. Because there's enough out there for everybody. And this is the thing I tell the women in my group. If there's a billion-dollar deal out there, let's bring everybody in. Let's collaborate. I'd rather have 1% of a billion than zero. But rest assured, when you're talking about a big contract like that, there's a lot of moving parts. You're not going to have all pieces to it. Bring in the right people into those positions to help you and go in there as a team. Go in there as a team so everybody has a little bit of something else. And that's what I subscribe to. And again, as right. I said, I've been very blessed.
Well, and none of us is as smart as all of us, so it's great. It's so critical to have a team. That is all the time we have. Betty Hines, thank you so much for being with us today and for all the work you do to uplift women entrepreneurs.
Thank you, Eleanor. I've enjoyed the conversation.
In case you've missed any of these programs, they're available in the archives. If you want to learn more about Breakthrough Solutions, go to thebreakthroughway.com. If you like this program, please go to iTunes and like it there. Our theme song is Let's Give Them Something to Talk About, sung by Bonnie Raitt. I'll be back 1 week from today. Thanks for joining us. This is Eleanor LeCain with All Together Now.